Blog Talk Radio.
I can
Oh, hallelujah. Joy, great joy, down off in our souls. That's what's going to get us through these times that we're living in today. Do you agree, sisters and brothers? We need joy, and we need even abundant joy. We need great joy. We need God's joy just to wake up in the morning, and we need joy just to make it through our day, just to get in the car and go through the traffic. Just to get on our daily journey, would you agree that we need joy? You know, I can't do it on my own. I can't receive these things. And before we know it, our flesh, we will flesh out if we don't ask God for his joy. And then once we ask God for his joy, we need to receive his joy. And we need to put it on like we're draping on a garment. We need to put it on and make sure we zip that thing up. Make sure it's all snapped up, buttoned up, however your garment fits you best. Make sure that when you ask for that joy, that you accept that joy. You know, sometimes we just say, oh, God, give me joy, but God doesn't play around like that. When you ask, he stands up and he comes to attention, and he wants to be there for you, and he wants to see you through your trials and whatever else is going on. He really wants to do you favors. But we don't really believe that. We just speak different things out of our mouth as habit, as a tradition. It may have been something that you heard a long time. But I come to invite you to stand up and now do something better than what you did yesterday. Yeah, that's right. Do something better than what you did yesterday. Be a little bit stronger in your relationship with the Lord than you were yesterday. I don't care where you're at and what you're doing right now. Come on, sisters and brothers, let's stop playing games. You got to watch yourself. Look around you. See just exactly what is really happening. There is no joking time. This is a real life right now. We're living in a real life situation, some big situations. And I come to remind you that you and you and you, nor I, we're not built for these situations. But I know someone who is. See, he created us, okay? And because he created us, he was the one who breathed breath into each and every one of us. So he knows what we can take. And he says that I am the heavy load bearer. So why don't you get that off of your shoulders, my brother? Why are you trying to carry that load? Are you trying to impress the world that you're this big muscle man, but you can carry all of this and nothing bothers you? It doesn't work that way. Your mind will collapse on you. Your thoughts will overtake you. Your flesh will overrule your spirit. You're not built that way, my sister. See, our creator, our maker, already knows from the beginning and all the way to the end of each and every one of our lives. And if he can number the number of hairs on your head and on your entire body, he knows the number of hairs that fall out, the ones that remain, the ones that you buy, the ones that you implant. He still knows. And if he knows all of this, then he knows what you should do with your burdens. He knows that you can't handle this. He said, but that's why I'm here to do that. You don't expect your kindergartner to go into the classroom and defend himself against all of the bullies or the teacher that's doing him wrong. You don't expect that. He can't handle that. She can't handle that. But you know. And you tell them, you let me know if something goes wrong, because come to me, my child. Speak to me and let me know the situation. I will handle it for you. Same situation as we go here. It is the same situation. Our Father is more of a father of a parent than we could ever be. I don't care who it is, even June Cleaver or who it was, the Mr. and Mrs. Brady did a great job entertaining us. But in real life, when whoever we depict, it does not measure anywhere up to the parenthood that Abba Father has for us. Abba Father is looking out for us. Our Abba Father knows the beginning from the ending. That is who it is. I love my kids, and my grandkids with dear in my heart, but he knows. So a true lover, a true parent, would hand that over to the ultimate parent, our Father, our God, our Creator, who took himself and split himself in Trinity just to make sure that we would be all taken care of. So even when we messed up, he said, I'm going to have to come and give some of me now. I'm gonna, just to bring you back to me, just to be that gap. So I don't care how far and how hard you run on this race. It's nothing that you can do. It's not your works that's going to get you back to him. So we need to make sure that we give those burdens over to our Father. The songs that we sing, we need to start applying those words. And I encourage a lot of our leaders that as we're going through our choir practices, we need to start making sure that these we're able to speak some of those words. You know, and then we harmonize. But when we get it in our spirit that we believe it, that's when we can receive it. Once we receive it, and then we can set up praise. And we can set up the whole congregation to just come into praise and true worship. Give true worship to the Lord. It's not an entertainment thing or who has the better voice or you know, who it is that's been known or who's been around the world doing this. It's not about that because he doesn't look at that. You have a talent. And you know what, believe it or not, when we're all in praise and worship together, my sisters, my brothers, young and old, if you're praying, if you're singing out and praying out from your heart, God receives that, and it's a beautiful sound in his ear. It's a beautiful sound in his ear, and it doesn't matter if you are some profound singer. You're making beautiful sounds. The whole heavens are just cheering and praising with you. We need to learn how to praise. We need to get out of entertaining each other. We need to learn how to praise. While you're entertaining each other, don't you know that it's somebody sitting beside you that's thinking about suicide right now? How are we not seeing these things in somebody? You got all these people surrounding you, but nobody can see the real you. Nobody knows that you're getting ready to go home and do this terrible thing. Nobody knows day after day. You know, it used to be a situation where, as the incident that recently just happened with the professional football player, and God just bless each and every member of those families that are here that's got to go on through that. God, just put your comforting arm around them, we pray, in Jesus' name. In situations like that, you know, it used to be a time that we were speaking and somebody said, you know, it was a time that you only kind of heard things of the suicide rate. You just didn't hear that as much in African Americans. You know, you just didn't hear black people committing suicide and murder-suicide. You just didn't hear that, you know, because they remember that Big Mama, you know, had took them to church and Big Mama had taught them, if nothing else, but to pray your way through a situation and stand back and wait and watch and see what God would do. You know, but in this day and time, look where we're at. Everybody is in the same boat. Nobody. See, no one is taking kids to church anymore. No one. The church pews are empty. So no one is taking them and teaching them how to pray. No one is teaching them how to fellowship. No one is teaching them how to be there, how to pray yourself through something. No one wants to hear that anymore. So you have black men, white men. We have Chinese, Asian. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're from, any race, any creed, any age. From the youth, we have kids that's under 10 years of age trying to commit suicide. And we're busy entertaining ourselves? Are we really true that we're ready for the comeback, for God to come back? Are we really sure that we're ready for him to catch us doing nothing entertaining ourselves? I beg to differ. I say you better get your house in order. Look around you. I don't care who you are. People are leaving here in all different manners. And if you have the opportunity that God has put you in someone's life And you're wasting your time by entertaining them. You're wasting your time trying to show off all the things that you've acquired here. Hear me from the spirit now. And that person is in depression, and you're just saying, I'm just going to leave them alone. You know what? I tried to tell them, and they don't want to hear it, and I don't have time to be bothered. If that's the mentality that you're carrying around, you better check yourself. You better check yourself. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a patient God. But he's also a God that is going to come back with his reward, your reward, my reward, everything that we deserve. He's coming back with it. Not the rewards that you got here on earth. Your accolades here and your commendations here are wonderful. Enjoy them here. Because an internal reward is coming for you. So that means all of the things that you didn't do that you should have been doing that I didn't know about, you didn't tell no one about, but it still happened. It still happened. It still happened. All of those things behind closed doors that you did in front of your kids, around your kids, and you know that it was not going to profit your kids, but your flesh desired these different things. Those things, good or bad, those are the things that you're going to be rewarded for. And I remind everyone every day, every moment that you step, every breath that you breathe, is always an opportunity for you to choose either life or death. Who are you choosing? Think of each situation, every lie that you pops into your head, and you choose to tell that lie instead of tell the truth. You're choosing life or death. Every sin that you lay down on every night, thinking, I'll never tell anyone, I'll take it to the grave. It will, too. It will take you to the grave before your time. It will take you to the grave. Because you remember, the wages of that sin is death. And I'm not talking about everybody just got to die one, but I'm talking about eternal death, eternal hell, eternal damnation is where you're leading over a lie. Come on now, people. It's time for us to wake up. And I speak from right now in the church. Let's go in the church and wake up first. You that's outside and say, I don't want to have no part of the church. It's too much wrongness going on in the church. I beg to differ. It's too much wrongness going on out in the club. But you go. It's too much wrongness going out on your job, but you still manage to go. And you brag about where you work at. It's some wrongness in the way that you got your vehicle. Someone knows what I'm talking about. It's some wrongness going on right up in your home, and you have no godly experience at all. You have no relationship to try to clean any of that mess up. God said we must fellowship. And you pray, and he'll send you to your brook. And if everybody else is in there messed up, then when you walk in there, you're fit right in because you're messed up too. But together, we all learn to pray together. See, that's what's good about this thing. When we all get in there and start to mingle together, it's like a blended family. We all pray together about each situation. We all love together. We all begin to cry together. We all begin to confess our sins. That's when our strength comes abound. He's in the midst of our praise. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to send you out there on your own. But he's coming back. And he's going to come and get you wherever you're at. When that time comes, it's here. We know not the day, the time, or the hour. At the end of every year, you hear all these different predictions. Believe none of them. Believe the word of God. No man knows the time or the hour. Again, believe none of them. I don't care who you hear it from, how popular they may be. Believe none of them. No man can predict when he's coming back. But he's coming back. And in the meantime, I just encourage you, hold on. Don't give up so quick. Hold on, my sisters and brothers. Hold on. I know it may not look like everything is going in your favor here, but hold on. Let God come back and catch you doing his work. Hallelujah. Hold on. Don't give up so quick. I know it's all kind of trials. I know it's all kind of tribulations going on. I know all kind of things is going on. But God wants to wipe away your tears right here on earth. He wants to comfort you. What do you do when the best person that you loved has passed on? What do you do when the one that you had your trust in has now left you and you don't know where to go? God has an unconditional love. Today is my son's. He would have been 28 years old today. This is our baby, James Marquise Dumas I. My oldest son, J.D. Dumas, named his baby that was born right after James passed. He named his baby after James. So we have a James Marquise Dumas II, and God bless him, and we'll speak about that in just a minute. But what do you do? What do you do when all that you've done and all that you've prayed, and you pray over your kids and you pray over them day and night, night and day, and you do all of this? What do you do when you get a knock on your door that your son drowned? What do you do when your whole family, like in the Louisiana case, God bless you all, that was just a few days before my son drowned. It was a whole family in Louisiana had drowned. What do you do when you get those calls? How do you carry on? What do you do when you find out that your family member has committed suicide and took others with him? What do you do? How do you carry on? How do you go through it? I just want to encourage someone tonight. As I celebrate James Marquise Dumas's, the day that he and I sat there and God delivered him into our arms, I celebrate that. I celebrate that. December 3rd, 1984, I celebrate that. And I just thank God for that. I thank God that it's because of him. It's because of the relationship that you have before you go through those turmoils. It's what's going to bring you through that. And even though my family, my friends, you may be feeling like that you're just in death right now yourself and you don't know how you're going to carry on, but I remind you, that's just a shadow that's over you right now. And it just made these words may not even seem like they're registering with you. But just play it back and just keep going back. Put it on your MP3 and just listen to God's words that he's using through my mouth right now over and over again. Trust and believe. Those is just the shadows. It's a shadow of death that God speaks about in the Psalms 23. It's the shadow of death. Your loved one has passed, but he's left you here for a reason. It's a shadow of death, the mother in New Jersey who was had just dropped off one child to school, to the daycare, and her baby was in the back seat, and a drunk driver came and hit them so hard it split their car in two. The little baby was in her car seat and everything, but she was called home to be with the Lord just in that instant. I know that it's the shadow of death that you're feeling right now, but that rod, it's the rod that God has forgave all of us, his word. He's given us authority to stand up and draw strength from him. Surely goodness and mercy is following you. And not just now through this circumstance. It's going to follow you all the days of your life. And you will find strength. You will find glory. You will find a way to make it on. You will find, and wait a minute now. It's going to be, you're going to go through some times. But I promise you, if you just hold on, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't bow down to it. Remember, we all got to die. We know not the way we're going to die, but we only got to die one time. You see, James Marquise Dumas will reunite with his mother. And as much as I miss him so, so, so much. But I am so proud and so happy that I know that he's not lost. You know what? That is some of the things people think they're lost. He's not lost. I'm so happy that he's in the presence of God. I'm so happy that there's nothing I could do better than what our Abba Father is doing for him right now. He is in the presence of God. Does it hurt? Yeah, it does. That's just what our flesh do on this side. It was just so hard. I remember at the beginning, in August 4th, 2010, is when he passed. And I remember weeks after, I carried him back home, and I just hung out at my mom's house for like another 2 weeks, just climbed up in one of her big beds and just kind of hung out and friends visited and just kind of hung there. And then when I stepped off of the plane back into Texas, it's just like it passed by his place every day. And I would just drive, and I would have to pull over and just weep. But I would just say, thank you, Lord, for the time I've had with him. And God just kept on hearing my prayers and my thanksgiving for all the glorious time, for having a place prepared for him to go. And he just kept right on healing me. He just kept right on comforting me. And I get stronger through him. I draw from him. I draw from him. When I still go sick with other members, or I have to pray, or I get that call that someone needs my prayer or needs me to come to them, it's still, I can shed my tears with them without ever mentioning that I've had personal loss in my life. But I need to be there for them. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. That's what he will do for you. That's how he will bring you through. It's the power of prayer. It's the relationship that you already established. You have to accept his love. You have to accept that he wants you to continue living, not just going through the day by day, but continue to live. It's an unconditional love. God loves us. And we have to look at how the love that God has for us, and many times we try to compare that to our love for our children. And so we live our life so vicariously through our kid or through our parents or whoever it is, that when God, who's their father, who loves them so much more than we can understand, when he said, hey, I miss them too. I want them back in my kingdom with me. And don't worry, my sister, my brother. You keep on living right now. I have some other lives for you to touch. I have my word in you that I need you to spread to different places. But your opportunity is coming too. In many cases, his mercy is what's keeping you alive. His grace. You don't even deserve some of the things, but none of us do, but it's his mercy. It's his grace that says, I'm giving you a little bit longer to get it together. I'm giving you a little bit longer to forgive your brother that you pass by every day. I heard one of the actors today on TV said, I don't think I ever get to the forgiving part. I don't think I ever want to get to being able to forgive somebody that much. And you know what? When I hit this age, I'm just going to go off on you. You know what? If you continue to grow in God, I challenge you. My brother, you will start to feel so different. You'll look back and say, I thought I would never do this. You know what? And it's okay where you're at right now. Where you're at right now is where you're at right now. But I challenge you, my brother. You keep on praying. You keep on living. You keep on worshiping. God will soften your heart. He will remove some of the evil things that people have done to you. They will ask you, don't you remember when this happened? And you'll be like, you know what? I don't even remember all the details of that. They're so, I do. Let me tell you what they did to you. I don't want to hear that. That was then. This is now. I have no desire to go and dwell back in that pity pool, whatever it was that was going on then. Whatever they did to me then, if I'm here where I'm at, that was a season that I learned something, should have learned something, but I've passed on. Through the grace of God, I have passed through that. Those fires are behind me. Hallelujah. So don't allow anyone to start throwing your old stuff that God has removed from you. Remove that stress. He's removed that out of your life. You don't have to think about, I remember back when they did this, and they, you know. Stop throwing that up in people's face, too. That's not what God is wanting from you. God God is looking for the best from you because he only wants to give the best to you. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is a good God. I want you to start doing something right now. It may be uncomfortable, but God has put some things in your spirit. The talents that you have inside of you, you are to be using those talents. Start doing something right now with those talents. It may feel uncomfortable. That pressure is going to push down on you until you get out and do something. That's when you're going to shine, when you push through all of that. You may supposed to be back in school. Why are you laying around just doing that because you say you work a full-time job? For what? Right now, you can do it like many of us are doing. You can work your full-time job and then come home and do it on the computer. I'm extra blessed. I actually work my full-time job from my home. They closed down my brick and mortar and sent us all home to do our job. And then I can move over to the next room and do my work. I'm at school. And is it still easy? No, it's not. It's really not. I can tell you just doing all of that because my full-time job requires me to work about 16 hours a day on the computer. And then to make sure that I got my schoolwork together, too. But God is so good. I'm still on the dean's list. Praise the Lord. That's not Vaughn. That's the Heavenly Father. Because I endure, I still got to worship. I still got to find my time for my praise. I got to give him my tithe in the first of my day at any time. I still got to be a mother. Even though my kids are grown, I still got to be there. I still got to be a daughter. I still got to take out time with my mom, whom I love very much. My sister, I'm still a sister. I still have 5 siblings out here depending to hear from me, to talk and laugh with me. I still have nieces and nephews that love Aunt Vaughn, that Aunt Vaughn loves them too. I still have a life to live. I still do things. I still get out and have fun. Those are the things that I do. All because Jesus Christ is first in my life. Is all perfect in my life? No. Even when I meet him, I'm still going to have corrections that should have been made, could have been made. And I'm going to be thinking, oop, I would have made them. But, I do the best. And every day, I strive to get a little bit more closer to God. Every day, I understand that I need to tighten up my armor throughout the day, not just put on my armor in the morning, but I need to keep it tightened throughout the day. So I keep on loving. So I keep on giving of myself. And he keeps on giving to me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for everyone, every listener, here and there, and all of about. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Just want to speak a little bit about our Thanksgiving. I pray that everyone had a blessed Thanksgiving, a blessed, blessed Thanksgiving, just giving thanks to God. And we try to do something just kind of extraordinary on that day as we set aside, as we give thanks throughout our lives. But as we set aside those days, we try to do something a little bit more special. And I just thank God that I know as we were celebrating, some people were mourning. And so to the Dumas and the Cannon family and in Annapolis, Indiana, my brother-in-law, John Allen Callett, Cannon, John Allen Cannon, went home to be with the Lord. Blessings over you, each and every one of you all. Blessings over each and every one of you all. I truly do love you. Me and my family, we had an opportunity to go. My oldest son is an officer in Boston. So we were able to go to Boston, and praise be the name of the Lord. We had a great time, and it was cold as all get up, especially from here in San Antonio. I still had on flip-flops and everything, and then I go there, and it's just freezing. My mother was a little bit more adapt to it, coming from Tennessee, and she was able to meet us there, and I was able to just really, really, really just have that extra sweet time with my grandkids. I was able to have all of my grandkids under one roof And it was just a beautiful thing, just a really awesome thing. My daughter, which is our oldest child, she's 32, and she has one daughter. And her daughter is just my little friend, my little tag-along. She's the oldest grandchild, and she's 14, and that's Tatiana. And then my oldest son, JD, the officer, he has three kids. And his kids are Nathaniel, who's 7, for a few more days, if it be God's will, he'll be turning 8. And then he has Janelle, who is 4, and she's the little princess of the family. And then he has James Marquise Dumas II, and he's 17 months. And he's just, I'm literally telling you, I thought I had great babies when they was babies. They were quiet babies, good babies, but this is like one of the best babies, I promise you. And then a blended family with JD. He has now 2 stepdaughters, and they are Katasha Lee. And Katasha Lee is 9, and if it be God's will, on the 15th of December, she'll be turning 10. And then we have Anaya, and Anaya is 7. And so just to be there with them, I tell you, we had a ball. I just really enjoyed waking up in the morning, and me and Tatiana would fix all these special breakfast deals for them and the smiley faces and create all of this different stuff and, you know, make sure no one goes to bed without the granny tales. And I do children's stories where I just read and send out recordings to kids. And so if you like to have your kids have some granny tales, just get in touch with me. I'll send you some CDs or something of granny tales. It's just bedtime stories, and it's all with God's love. And we take a lot of the children books, and we just read through those, and I just read the stories to them in a soft, loving manner. And we always include a little godness in it, of course, wherever we go. So those are the beautiful things. And so I thank God for those opportunities for those 7 days that we were there. And you know, and then it was snowing when I got ready to leave, and thank God we was able to get back into San Antonio, into the various places that we came from, and I was able to come back and put my flip-flops back on and walk outside again with no jacket or no coat. So we thank God for the weather changing and just the adaptation of different things. So I just wanted to end this program again, just wanted to talk to you and just encourage you to hang on in there, just be strong. And I understand that, you know, through life we can look at everything, but we need to get real. We need to love our families, do for our families now, and whatever it is that you have, I remind you, whatever it is that you acquired and you've worked for, don't let it become such a hindrance to you that you can't share with someone. And forget about how much you're sharing. God is not going to allow you to give more than he can give to you, okay? So forget about keeping track of what you get. And never loan anything that you're not able to give away. If the person is borrowing something from you, especially if it's a money situation that they have to have it, they don't have it. That's why they're coming to you. You know, it's a different circumstances. So feel it from your heart. It may not be everyone coming with the right spirit, but those that are coming with the right spirit, you know, if you can't give it to them, then you just pass it on. Because you're loaning it to them, they're in the same situation, how is it going to help them get out? But if you have a way of teaching them how to fish to get them out of a situation so they don't have to come back to you again, don't get so busy in our lives that we teach each other how to be fishermen, okay? And make sure that we love and spread your love to your kids, even your grown kids. If they make decisions that may not be the ones that you would have for them, but stay on your knees and pray them through into those right directions. God is still God. He doesn't need you to save anyone. He just needs you to be patiently and pray with them. Keep on praying for them. Pray over them. And circumstances, they may not even realize it. As you walk into their dwellings, just have your prayer already in your heart. Touch your hand and just touch and just bless their home. You know what? Just keep on going in the child's bedroom when they're not now and there. Keep on praying for them. Keep on praying over them. And watch God do his thing. Be God. That's what he's going to do. He was God before us. He's going to be God after us. The cemeteries are full, and none of them was able to change anybody or save anybody. It's only He, the Creator, who's able to save, who's able to bring them through those situations. So don't give up on them. Don't turn your backs on them. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Don't turn your back on yourself. Alcoholism is a drug, a deadly drug. Don't play that game. Don't run down that lane. Don't pick up a smoking habit when you have so much education out here about the dangers of smoking. Don't walk down that lane. Find another outlet. Get a punching bag. Go to the gym. There's all kind of memberships. Go to the gym several times a day. Get your aggression or whatever it is out that way. Find the way. You got to fight for your sanity. You got to fight to survive here. You got to fight to be able to be still standing when He comes back for you. When He calls your name, I want you to be ready. That's all I'm asking of you. Hold on. Hold on. He's coming back for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Again, James Markeisha Dumas the First, I love you, my son. I love you. I truly do. And I miss you. But where you are, I'm going to be there one day. I'm going to be there one day. So it's all right. Your brother and your sister, we're hanging in there. Your big mama, she's hanging in there. Big mama, I love you. Miss Annie Pearl Harwell, we love you. To my brothers and sisters, T, God bless you. I love you. Hang on in there. I know you just lost your wife here in this August. Hang on in there.